Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We're on the series, How the Mighty Fall, and if you've been here for some of it, Pastor Scott talked about Esau and how Esau traded eternal blessings and the birthright that was given to him for something that was as temporal as a meal. And then last week, Blake talked about Samson, and one of the things that he said was that gifts are given, but character is developed or character is grown. Now, one of the ways that you can grow in your character is to learn from your mistakes. But what we want to avoid, we're all going to make mistakes, but what we want to avoid is we want to avoid costly mistakes. Now, I made a mistake. I wouldn't necessarily call it a costly mistake. It was an unfortunate mistake. Earlier on in Lisa and I's marriage, it was Christmas time, and she was making Christmas cookies. And so she went next door to our neighbor, they were friends of ours, and she said, I don't have any cookie cutters. And so, isn't that the right word? Let's make the patterns with it. Ladies, help me. Okay. And so, do you have any I can borrow? She says, yes. She says, I've got a ton of them. I've got all these beautiful cookie cutters that my grandmother gave to our family and my mom. And so she gave my wife this whole bag of irreplaceable cookie cutters. And so my wife brings them home and she's cutting out all these cookies and she's baking. And at the end of the night, I'm asleep by this point. She takes the cookie cutters, washes them all out, and then puts them by the front door. Well, that next morning is trash morning. And so I get up and there's a bag by the door. And so husbands, help me here. What do you do with bags by the door? They go into the trash. And so I pick up the bag. My wife's not awake at this point. I put it in the trash. I take the trash out to the street. Trash man comes. Later on, my wife says, where's the bag of cookie cutters? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She says, the bag of cookie cutters. I put it right next to the door. And I just had this, like, one of those, you know, you go white moments. And so I've since learned that unless it is obviously a big bag of garbage from the kitchen, if it's anything smaller than a full-size kitchen bag, I'm not taking it out unless I ask. But there are far more costly mistakes that can occur in life. And each one of us is going to face decision points. And the bigger those decision points are, the more important it is to avoid costly mistakes. Because it's at the decision points when your life is either strengthened or weakened. And it's where godly principles come in. They become all the more important because big decisions are like watersheds that can send your life down one side or down the other. And we want to make sure that our life is flowing in the direction that God wants it to go. So take out your outline. Now, your outline's a little bit different tonight. You'll notice it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It's not folded. How many of you noticed that when you came in? Okay, now, if you're new to our church, you don't understand this, but normally our handouts are folded like this. So I had to completely retrain the ushers. I got here an hour early. We had to practice. They couldn't get it. Finally, they got it. So everyone thank the ushers that they got these handed out. Did an excellent job. And here's kind of how it's going to work tonight so that you don't get lost, okay? You'll notice that one column says man's better idea. You see that? And the other column says God's better idea. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. We're going to contrast man's better idea with God's better idea. So you'll fill in under each one of these, and then you'll go back and forth. We'll go through the sheet. Hopefully you'll be able to keep up with it. If not, then maybe your neighbor will be able to help you. Okay, so let's take a look at our scripture, Genesis chapter 16, and we'll read the first six verses and we'll dive in. Now Sarai, and you may know her as Sarah, which she was renamed later. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, and then Abram becomes Abraham, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress, speaking of Sarai, became despised in her and Hagar's eyes. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon you. I gave you my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Okay, first of all, let's ask the first question, problems. So first of all, man's perspective, problems. Write down yes. Doesn't matter whether if you're following the Lord Jesus or you're not following the Lord Jesus, everybody faces problems. But here's the basic perspective of most people is they want to avoid the problem, right? Avoid. If you got a chance, opportunity to avoid the trial, then they want to avoid the trial. And so we go around our life trying to get around trials, trying to avoid trials. Here's the problem that Sarai and Abram find themselves in. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She was barren. And so they're grappling with this. Not only is she barren, she's been barren for 10 years after they've entered the land. And the problem is that God's given them a promise. And the promise is that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to raise up a nation through you. And it's real hard to be blessed with a nation when you don't have any kids, right? So that's the problem that they're facing. And so man's way is to avoid the problem. And that's exactly what they do. But here's God's side. Here's God's way. Here's God's better idea. In God's better idea, yes, you've still got problems. But instead of avoiding the problems, God wants you to grow through the problems. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. If we could throw that up on the screen, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, that might look like God's just going to make it easy on you. He's going to give you an escape route. You just go right around that temptation, right around that difficulty. But instead of escape, think grow. God will make a way of growth for you that you might be able to bear it. Because if God just allowed us to escape every temptation, we would not grow as Christians. We would not grow as people. So God allows there to be difficulties. He allows there to be barrenness. He allows there to be problems in our life that we might be able to grow through it. God wants you to find increase in your problems. God wants you to find fruitfulness in the middle of your problems. And if you avoid your problems, if you sidetrack your problems, if you just look for a way around your problems, then God can't bring that into your life. So instead, God grows you through your problem. So Abram and Sarai, they're trying to avoid their problem. They're trying to go around it. Okay, let's take a look at solution. Man's better idea. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Now, man's solution is this. It's to look for the way that is easy and near. Easy and near. Now, this way of handling the problem was actually a part of the custom of the people of that day. You don't have a child as a couple, and so what you do instead is you have a maidservant who's in your house, and you have a child through your maidservant. So there wasn't anything unusual about this. It certainly would not be considered morally wrong according to the customs of that day. But the customs of the day will rarely get you where God wants you to go. And here's something else I want you to note, is that it looked really holy. Think about it for a minute. Here's Sarai. She's barren. She's bearing the weight and the difficulty and the hardship of not being able to bear a child. And so it looks like it involves self-denial and humility on Sarah's part to be willing to give up her position as the sole wife, to bring Hagar in, as she says, to give Hagar into Abram's embrace so that the promise of God might be fulfilled. But sometimes that which has the trappings of looking religious, of looking holy, will really lead you into the path of a costly mistake. What's God's better idea? Here's God's better idea. Difficult and far off. Many times, great blessings, great promises, you have to go through great trials and great temptations to get them. And many times, one of the most subtle temptations that we have to face is the temptation and the stress of just waiting. That's what cracked this godly couple. This couple that had given up everything, had traveled to a land that they knew nothing about, had left comfort, had left family, had gone out on purely the word of God to a land that they had never been to, and they're total strangers in this land. They don't have friends down there. They don't have family down there. All they have is the people that went with them. There's no one to show them around. There's very little people to help them. A couple that had been that dedicated to the voice of God, what cracked them? Waiting. And what often cracks you and I? Waiting. How many would say that waiting's hard? You know, I don't mind waiting as long as I don't have to wait. Let's take a look at the couple scriptures here from the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Insert waiting, barrenness. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So there's an enduring, there's a hanging in there. James 5, 7 through 11. Therefore be, what's that word? Say it real loud. Oh, I hate that word. Brethren, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer what? I don't like that word either. For the precious fruit of the earth, what's it say with the next two words? Waiting. Oh, now he combines the two together. Waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. You also be what? Patient. Oh, I'm not liking the scripture. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. That's what happens when you're waiting, right? Brethren, lest you be condemned, behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and what? Patience. There, I didn't hear that very loud. patience. Oh, yeah, we're getting tired of the word patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate. So what's God's better way? God's better way is a difficult and a far off. One person said this, perseverance is courage stretched out. He said, sometimes perseverance is expressed in our waiting on God. I call this weight training, W-A-I-T, weight training. Perhaps one of the greatest sins is not waiting long enough, giving up too soon. There was a 10-year-old boy who, with a friend, accidentally poured gasoline instead of kerosene on a stove fire in his little country schoolhouse. The stove blew up, killed the one boy instantly. The other boy was injured so seriously, doctors wanted to amputate both legs. Parents begged just one more day, and on and on. Doctors gave in every day, months later, one day at a time. Finally, they unwrapped his bandages. One leg was 2.5 inches shorter. The other foot was missing most of its toes. The doctor said this boy will never walk, but with perseverance he walked. Doctor said he'll never walk without crutches, but with perseverance he walked without crutches, then wobbly jog, then he tried running. Just several years later, he became one of the greatest Olympian runners ever. He was once called the world's fastest human being. His name was Glenn Cunningham. One step at a time, difficult, hard, long. Okay, let's go to our next one. Number three, door closer. Again, from Genesis 16. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. So he went into Hagar and she conceived. Okay, here's what I want you to write down. Under man's better idea, I want you to write down the Lord. I'm going to explain this in just a minute. The Lord, but it's got to be in quotation marks. Okay? The Lord in quotation marks. So that's under man's better idea. Under God's better idea, I want you to write down you. You. I know you're thinking, shouldn't those fill-ins be reversed? So the Lord is under man's better idea, and under God's better idea, write down you. You have it? Okay, let me explain it to you. How many times have you prayed a prayer like this? Lord, if you don't want me to have, fill in the blank, this job, whatever it might be, you close the door. If you've prayed a prayer, something like that in your life, raise your hand. Okay, just about all of us have prayed a prayer like that. There's nothing wrong with that prayer, but here's the shortcoming of it. You have to understand this, understand the story here. That's a fine prayer, and it's a prayer that works well. If you're a newer Christian, and congratulations if you are, if you're a newer Christian, then that's a totally appropriate prayer because you probably don't know much about God's ways yet. You don't know much about the Bible. And so you need to pray a prayer like, God, if you don't want me to do that, just close the door. It's like when my kids were young and they said, hey, we want to go out and play on the street. No, I closed the door. But once they turn 16, you know what I have to do? I got to pull the keys out of the pocket, stick it into their hand, and say, go drive on the street. So here's the point. If you use God closing the door as your only sign that God doesn't want you to do something, then you're missing out on that as you grow in the Lord, God wants you to close some doors. Did not this look like an open door? Here's Abraham just going about life, And all of a sudden, his wife comes up with this idea. Abraham didn't go to Sarai and say, hey, I got this bright idea. What do you think? We do bring Hagar in. No, no. This was Sarah's idea. But God wanted Abraham to close the door. There are many things in this world that happen apart from God opening the door. There are jobs that people get. There are relationships that people start. Just because a door seems to be open doesn't mean that God wants you to go through it. God wants you to mature in your discernment and to mature in your wisdom, that even if there seems like a door standing open, it doesn't mean you're supposed to go through it. Does that make sense? Abraham went through what looked like, well, you could have easily said, God, who else but God could have put that idea in my wife's head? Are you with me, guys? I'm going to have to elaborate, right? But it wasn't a God door. So door closer, sometimes it's you. All right, let's go on to number four. Who will stand with you? Again, Genesis 16, verse 2. It says, so Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. In Exodus chapter 23, it says, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Here's man's better idea. Someone and many. Someone and many. You can always get someone to agree with you. The fact that you got someone to agree with you doesn't mean it's of God. And you might even be able to talk other Christians into agreeing with you. It doesn't mean that it is God. Years ago, I wanted to start a business with a friend of mine. And so it was back, we were at our church in Lake Tahoe, a smaller church, couple pastors. And so we kind of figured out which of the two pastors, if we went and talked to them, were the most likely to say it was a good idea. And the other pastor we kind of knew was going to grill us a little bit more and maybe was going to come to the conclusion that perhaps it's not such a good idea. So we avoided him. Went to the other pastor, got the yes, got the amen, went and did it, lost $5,000. Costly mistake. God's better idea? No one, few. No one or few people. But here's really the point that I'm trying to bring out. Find good counsel. Because you can talk people into things. You can find someone who's kind of got a soft, bleeding heart, and they'll agree with you almost anything you have to say. If you're looking at a major life decision, you've got to find some people that know you well, that know God's ways well, and that are willing to tell you the truth, and they won't let you talk them into something. Don't avoid the people that you know are going to say that's a bad idea and just go to the people that you know are going to say that's a good idea. If you do that, then you are going to be in danger of making costly mistakes. So find good counselors. And let me just say this to wives. You know, as wives, you're called to be submissive. You're called to be a helpmeet to your husband. That doesn't mean you don't talk. That doesn't mean you don't say things. As a matter of fact, sometimes the only way you can be a helpmeet is to say, listen, hubby, that's a bad idea. I am in disagreement with that idea. That's not lack of submission. That's being a helpmeet. That's speaking up. That's being the person that sees something that your husband doesn't see. He put you together with an opposite. And so he's not going to see what you see. And so being a helpmeet is stepping up and saying, time out, bad idea. Amen? All the husbands said amen? Okay, number five. How certain are you? Sarai said, perhaps, perhaps I shall obtain children by her. So under the man's better idea side, just put down perhaps. You know, if you're making a big decision, now I know sometimes you just have to make a decision. You know, you got laid off, you got trying to decide what to do. I mean, sometimes you have to go with a perhaps. But try not to. Try not to. God's better idea on the other side is the sure word of the Lord. God had already given Abraham and Sarah the sure word of the Lord. You will raise up nations through you. I will give you a child. They already had the sure word of the Lord. In Ezekiel 12:25, it says, "For I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed, for in your days I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God." So look for something more than just a perhaps. Let's go on to number six. These next few go together. Whose voice are you listening to? In Genesis, whose voice did Abraham listen to? Sarai. In this case, she spoke up, but it wasn't a good idea. In Jeremiah 6:10, it says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised," or think their ear is closed, "and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." Under man's better idea, put down man's voice. Who are you listening to? Man's voice. There's so many voices out there. There's so many ways. There's all these philosophies going on. There's all these people on TV. There's books. There's media. You can find an opinion on anything that you want, on any side of the question that you want. What used to be a fairly sure way of what's right and what's wrong has been completely blown apart. So what we have to listen to on the other side under God's better idea is God's voice. We have to listen to God's voice. And I say, yeah, okay, I got that. That's pretty basic, Roger. But the question is, how do you discern God's voice? In John 10, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now let me say this too. Make sure that you don't, whoever you're talking to, whoever you're seeking counsel with, don't overwhelm that person with your voice. Now let me speak to husbands for a minute. While we were looking into going into this carpet cleaning endeavor, this business, I overwhelmed my wife with my voice. Now, we were younger there, much younger in marriage, and fortunately, my wife has learned to speak up better, and I've learned to listen to her better, but I overwhelmed her with my voice. I overwhelmed her with, "This is of God. We've heard from God. I know God's spoken to us." Don't overwhelm your spouse. Don't overwhelm your friend. Don't overwhelm the person that you're going to for counsel. If it's a big area, say it very softly and speak short and listen long. Give them a chance to hear from God and to help you discern the word of the Lord. Don't overwhelm people with your voice. So how do you discern the Lord's voice. Number seven, whose method? One of the ways that we discern the Lord's voice is the way in which it comes. What the word says. So in Genesis 16:3, it says, "Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan." Now let's do the man's better idea side first. So write down under man's better idea, whose method? The human method. And we already saw that this was a culture of the East. This is a culture of the people all around them. So when I say human, I mean, excuse me, just the culture that's all around. The problem wasn't with the intention. Sarai's intention was good. Sarai's intention was to fulfill the word of the Lord. The problem was the method. So here are some things to contrast. What's it look like? What's human method look like? Beside privilege, again, we're under the column man's better idea. Under privilege, would you write down liberty? Now, we've received a liberty in Christ, but it's not a liberty unto license. And so if you find yourself saying things like this, "If I do this, God will forgive me. If I do this, I won't end up in hell." That's not the standard. The standard isn't, can you get forgiveness for it? If you're thinking like that, you're going to end up with some really costly mistakes. That's not the standard. The standard isn't what you can get away with. And then by weary of waiting, and again, we're under man's better idea, the human way of looking at it is seeing signs. The human way of looking at it is now. I want it now. And it's also natural and usual. It's just the way people do things. And I want to say something else while we're on the human side of things, man's better idea. Good intentions do not guarantee good results. Sarah had good intentions, but it did not guarantee good results. Why? Because she did the human method. Okay, let's look over at God's better idea. First of all, divine. It comes from God. It's divine. But what does that look like? Under privilege, write down exemplary. And here's what I mean by exemplary. You might want to write down by exemplary. Write down the word strict. When you're in the middle of a big, huge life decision, and you're trying to make a huge choice that is going to affect not only your life, it might affect your kids' life, it might affect your grandkids' life, you had better walk by a strict rule, not how much can I get away with, but how close can I be to the heart of God? How close can I be to what God would have for me? Weary of waiting? Write down, walk by faith. It's a faith walk. And because it's a faith walk, sometimes it's going to be a futuristic walk. You're not going to get it when you necessarily want to. As we saw last week with Samson, he had all these gifts, but his character hadn't caught up to his gifts yet. His gifts had outgrown his character, and he ended up as a big mess. God wants to bless you. God wants to open doors of ministry for you. God wants to use you in greater ways than you are right now, but he's got to grow your character at the same time as your gift. Otherwise, you can end up with a giant mess. So many times it's futuristic, and then it's also supernatural and unusual. God's ways of doing things aren't man's ways of doing things. Now, sometimes he'll use natural ways, but God loves to bless us in ways where we just step back and go, whoa, now that had to be God. By the time that Abraham and Sarah finally had a child, he was 100, she was 90. How many of you would say, that's a miracle? I mean, we're not talking here 22 and 20. Where you just go, okay, they had kids. I mean, that's how God made it to be. 22, 20, boom, got pregnant. That's what we would expect. 190, you don't expect that. God loves to do that kind of stuff. And so if you're always looking for signs to have it now, to have it natural and unusual, you're going to make some costly mistakes. Before we go to the last point, I want you to notice on your outline that there is a strip going right down the middle. You see that? Okay, that's there on purpose. The reason there's that strip going right down the middle is I wanted to make sure that we all understand that avoiding costly mistakes and making good decisions and discerning the voice of the Lord isn't always easy. And it's not always contrasted like we've done today or outlined. We've kind of contrasted, maybe you could say, the extremes. But many times life isn't lived with these obvious choices. If it was so obvious, godly Abraham and Sarah wouldn't have made this costly mistake. But it's not always that simple, and it's not always that easy. And that's why it's so important to stay close to the Lord. That's why it's so important to learn to hear God's voice. That's why it's so important to have, one of the things that Blake said last week, is to have people who will tell you the truth about your life and what you're doing, and they're not afraid to do so. If you just surround yourself with yes people, you surround yourself with weak personalities, then you're going to make costly mistakes, because every one of us is going to have ideas that drop into our mind that we think are of God and they're not of God. And if you don't have someone in your life, you will get in your face and say, that is wrong. That is not the will of God for your life. It could be something that's clearly in Scripture and you're just trying to ignore it, or it could be something that isn't clear one way or the other, but you've got people in your life who will help you. They'll be honest with you. They will speak the truth into your life. You have to have people like that. You can't depend on coming in to see a pastor, a clergy, a professional person, even a professional counselor who maybe doesn't know you super well, and just hope that they get the word of the Lord for you. You have to have godly friends in your life that will speak the truth into your life. Because when you're in that middle column down the middle, you're going to need people like that to help you out. Okay, lastly, number 8, the end result. Genesis 16:4. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress, Sarai, became despised in her eyes. Then Isaiah 5:2. And this is speaking here of God, and he's working with the nation of Israel. He says, he dug it up and cleared out its stones, and he planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower. The tower symbolized protection in its midst. He also made a wine press in it, a wine press that would bring forth the fruit. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Here's what I want you to write down under man's better ideas. If you follow man's better ideas, you're going to end up with increased problems. And the problem that Abraham and Sarai brought upon themselves, not only did it affect their relationship at that moment, but it's affecting world history to this day. And when you make a costly mistake, sometimes it just affects you. Sometimes it just affects maybe you and your friends or you and your spouse, but many times your costly mistake will be generational. It will affect you, it might affect your children, it might affect your grandchildren. So when we follow God's ways, there's increased problems. So we can't just say, no big deal, God will cover it, God will forgive me, it'll be okay, my friends will accept it eventually, my kids will be okay eventually, because you don't know. You don't know. And when we start down the path of costly mistakes, we just don't know. It's like you throw a rock into the water and those ripples begin to go out and you do not know where they're going to end. You do not know how many lives are going to be affected. You don't know if your costly mistake might ruin someone else's life. And I don't say that to bring condemnation, but I say it as a warning to me and as a warning to you that we need to walk carefully before the Lord, because our actions affect not only us, but they affect others as well. But what about the end result on God's side? Is there any good news here under God's better idea? Write down increased blessing. God wants to increase blessing in your life. When you make good decisions, when you avoid costly mistakes, then it begins to have this momentum effect and things start to get better and better. Psalm 92 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Everyone say flourish. Now, there's a nice word. In the courts of our God, they shall still bear fruit. Everyone say, bear fruit. In old age, you're going to keep bearing fruit. You're going to have a fruitful end to your life. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Then there's also a beautiful picture in Ezekiel 47. It says, along the bank of the river, and think of this bank of the river as being when you're making good decisions and God's in your life and you submitted your life to God, it's like this river flowing into your life. It says, on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees. Think about trees being the people around you. You're not only flourishing, you're blessing people around you. All kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. So even in difficult times, they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, flows from the place of the blessing of God. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. You'll actually be a medicine to people around you.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.